This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, February 11th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Inflation is at its highest level in decades, and that's putting a tight squeeze on Americans' bank accounts. But there's even more going on than meets the eye. Sometimes those higher costs don't show up on the price tag.
In some cases, the amount you're paying for a particular good or service might actually be the same as what you paid a couple of years ago, but you're getting a lot less for that price.
On today's show, we'll be talking with our economics reporter Gabriel Rubin about hidden inflation, the not-so-obvious ways that companies are charging you more without actually raising the price. That's after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
We just found out yesterday that inflation rose 7.5% last month from a year ago, the highest rate in 40 years. But ever bigger price tags aren't the whole story. Some companies are leaving the base price of products alone, but tacking on fees and other hidden costs that often don't get factored into the official inflation numbers. WSJ economics reporter Gabriel Rubin has been uncovering these hidden charges, and he joins me now. Hi, Gabe. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
So, Gabe, why are companies tacking on these extra charges? Is it just because they can, or is there more going on?
Companies, just like consumers, are facing a lot of economic headwinds right now. They're facing much higher costs in the form of labor and supply chain issues and other pandemic-related disruptions. So they're trying to pass those costs along to the consumer, but they're worried about the consumer blanching at the price increase and not wanting to pay it.
Yeah, I want to get to how consumers feel about this in a moment, but how are companies adding these fees and charges without raising the base price of products? Well, what does this look like for your average consumer?
Yeah, a lot of companies are trying to do this through different sorts of surcharges. Sometimes they'll even spell out exactly what a customer is paying for, like a restaurant that is charging a fee related to COVID because they have to clean tables more often or abide by other government mandates. And they can try to be transparent about it that way. In other cases, they're simply breaking things out and turning things into fees that might have been included in the service before the pandemic. For example, a restaurant group in Chicago called Let Us Entertain You, Let Us spelled like the leafy green, they are charging a 3% processing fee that can be removed by customers if they notice it and ask the waiter for it to be removed. And that, they say, is because they have dealt with a lot of rising costs because of government mandates related to COVID that are required to keep the restaurant open.
Now, are these just straight up cost increases, or are companies offering anything to the consumer to go with these added charges?
In some cases, there are things like at car dealerships, non-negotiable add-ons. So you might be getting a service, but you're not really choosing to get that service. So while you might be getting more for your money, it's not money that you intended to spend in the first place.
Right. So, you know, no one likes seeing extra charges show up on their bill. So are companies doing anything more subtle than tacking on fees?
Yeah. In some cases, the amount you're paying for a particular good or service might actually be the same as what you paid a couple of years ago, but you're getting a lot less for that price. So, for instance, at Disney World, they no longer provide included free shuttles from the airport to your Disney hotel, and you have to pay for an Uber or a Lyft or a different shuttle service. Also, at a hotel, not necessarily Disney, at other places, those hotels might not clean your room every single day the way they would have before the pandemic. So you might pay the same rate for that hotel room, but you're actually getting less quality because they're not cleaning your room, or the breakfast that used to be hot eggs and toast and bacon is now a small box of cereal or a granola bar in a paper bag. So you're getting a lot less for your money, even if the amount you're paying is roughly the same as you would have paid before the pandemic.
Speaking of food, I want to focus for a moment on the trip to the grocery store. Food prices have cut an even bigger hole in people's household budgets compared to a year ago. But how are grocers and food manufacturers getting around raising the prices we see on the shelf?
Yeah, grocers and food manufacturers are resorting to a very old form of hiding inflation, which is known as shrinkflation to economists. And shrinkflation is when you keep the price of an item that people recognize at a grocery store roughly the same. You might raise it by a little bit, but you're basically keeping the price the same, but you're giving them a lot less. So, for instance, we talked to someone in Connecticut who went to their local grocery store, and he was shopping for his family, and he picked up a block of cheese that he normally buys, and it was roughly the same price. He said it was about 10 cents more than usual than he remembered. And then he realized that it seemed a lot smaller, and he noticed that it had dropped from 16 ounces to 12 ounces. So for consumers who are not looking very closely at the unit prices for things, you might actually be paying a lot more for what you're getting, even if the price is roughly the same as before.
Oh yeah, the unit price. I use that all the time because it gives me an apples-to-apples comparison. But I suppose paying attention to unit prices means that shoppers have to be a little more eagle-eyed, right?
Yeah, that's true. And I talked to a pricing expert at Harvard Business School named John Gorville, and he told me that in his research and in others' research in this area, shoppers don't really look at those unit prices. Those unit prices have been legally required since the 1970s. And most of the research shows that people looked at them back in the 70s when it was a novel thing. But unless you're a very, very price conscious consumer, you probably aren't checking the unit price of every item you're buying at the grocery store.
You know, Gabe, we often hear from government officials that they're concerned about how prices have risen so sharply. But any word if these more hidden practices have attracted attention?
Yeah, the government is actually really good at tracking shrinkflation because of unit pricing and the ability to know how much something costs per ounce, for example. But they're less good at noticing quality declines. It's very hard for a government analyst to factor in what the value of having your hotel room cleaned every day is. So that is something that's really hard to gauge, and it doesn't really show up in government inflation figures, according to an economist that I spoke to at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which tracks those numbers. In terms of scrutiny from the government, there is an effort afoot by the Biden administration to look at some of these so-called junk fees, which is what they're calling them, these hidden fees. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is looking specifically at fees in the financial services sector, so bank overdraft fees and things like that. And the Department of Transportation is looking at things like baggage fees imposed by airlines. And there's definitely a feeling within the Biden administration that these junk fees hurt competition by not providing price transparency. So consumers can't make informed choices about how much things cost if they can't see what the ultimate price is going to be. So they view this in terms of competition. And I think we can expect that there will be further actions by the Biden administration in this space in the coming years.
Now, I'm sure I know the answer to this, but all these fees and surcharges, how is all this going over with consumers?
Consumers are pretty annoyed at shrinkflation, and they're certainly stressed out about inflation in general. Consumers notice when their dollar isn't going as far as it used to, and it shows up in consumer sentiment surveys that show that people are very pessimistic about the current state of the economy. And with inflation, inflation expectations ultimately drive future inflation. So if you expect something to cost more in the future, you're going to be willing, probably, to buy it at a higher price because you don't expect the price to ever go down. So the risk in this area is that people will continue to expect higher prices and companies will continue to charge them and we'll have an inflationary cycle that continues.
Now, looking at these fees and surcharges, any chance that they could go away anytime soon?
It's not likely that in our current environment with so many unresolved COVID-related issues like in the supply chain and with the labor market, it's not likely that those fees will go away anytime soon. But I think we can learn a lesson from the fact that while a lot of these companies chose to impose fees rather than straight across price increases to show that consumers are price sensitive and these companies don't want to impose new prices that consumers might not be willing to pay. And it's a lot easier to remove a fee than it is to discount something.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal economics reporter Gabriel Rubin. Gabe, thanks so much for taking the time to chat.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.